Ready?
We're ready. All right. So I wanted to go over the stuff that we've been learning. We've been going over Sandler, I want to say, for like the last 2.5 months now. It's been quite a while. And so some of us are getting trained directly by Brad. The rest of us are getting coached by me. And I wanted to, you know, as we're going through Sandler, a lot of stuff that we've been using as far as this talking to sellers kind of conflict, right, with how Sandler goes. So we wanted to make some tweaks, and Carlton, to his credit, actually went and made all the tweaks. So I've been saying, I want to say for probably like 2 months, like, I'm going to go make the changes. Carlton went ahead and made the changes. So thank you, Carlton, for doing that for all of us. So,
of course.
I figured then probably the best person to present it, this person that created it. So in this, I'm going to be the seller. And then Carlton's going to go over how he talks to the seller in the appointment. And a couple of times I'm going to interrupt him to explain like what part of the contract we're using for that.
Maybe we should.
So you guys ready to go?
Yes. Bye.
There you go. That's the first half.
I got mine.
Oh, okay. So, Steve, thank you for inviting me to your home. Although I may not need the whole 45 minutes that we spoke about over the phone, do I still have that allotted time today?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we start, would it make sense for us to go over normally how all this works?
Okay.
Cool. So typically, what you want to know is what we do, the cost involved, and the whole process of everything. Obviously, in order for me to get those, you know, answered for you, I'll be asking you a lot of questions. Some may be a little personal. Naturally, one of those two things will result from our conversation. We may find that as a result, we're either going to work together and move forward, or not move forward and part ways as friends. Likewise, if you learn that our approach isn't for you, would it be comfortable for you saying thank you for our meeting, but we did not make a match?
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll do the same thing as well. I want you to know that if any time you feel uncomfortable or you do not like the way this meeting is going, it's okay for you to stop everything as we're doing the appointment still. So if I'm still talking, you can go ahead and say, you know what, Carlton, this isn't working out. Would that be also okay for you?
Yeah, I guess.
Cool. So that's basically the whole first part of it. You're just asking permission for everything.
So we talked about the upfront contract. Some of you guys have been, were in that class. So upfront contract, we want to establish the ground rules for the conversation, for the meeting, right? So the first thing he does is, the acronym is a ton, and it's easy to remember, right? I want to make a ton of money. So A-T-O-N, appreciate. Typically, obviously, naturally. So appreciation is thank you for inviting me into your home. And then we have the contract before the contract, and that's where he says, you know, when we spoke on the phone, it's gonna be between 45 minutes and an hour. Is that still okay? And we're just confirming that we have enough time. And you want to ask this question because, like, oh, you know, actually, I gotta get going in 10 minutes. You want to start the meeting and rush through it. How many of you guys have been in a meeting where you show up and they agree it's gonna be an hour and it was like 5-10 minutes? What happens in a 5-10 minute meeting?
Not much.
Not what you wanted.
Not rush, right? Mm-hmm. It's entirely intellectual. How much you can sell my house for? What do you charge? Or what are you gonna pay for my house? And that's it. That's all you can get out in 5 minutes. So we're establishing up front, so at the time, and then ton is typically, obviously, naturally. Typically, you wanna know how, what we do, what we charge, or what it costs to work with us, and how the process works. You wanna ask, there's three questions. Whatever your three questions you can get the most, those are three things you wanna address. And then obviously, for me to be able to answer those questions, I'm gonna ask you some questions myself. Some of them might be even personal. Will that be okay? You're getting permission for them to ask personal questions because you're going to have to ask personal questions. And if you don't establish this upfront agreement, setting expectations early, you start asking how much you owe, what your payments are, you might get the hell out of my house. Like, that's a personal question, right? But if you ask for it upfront, that permission upfront, then you can ask those personal questions later on. And then naturally, one of two things is going to happen. Either we say it doesn't make sense for us to work with you. You may say it doesn't make sense to work with us. That is the first possibility. Second possibility is we do business together. And the reason why we want to say that is this is our way of making sure we don't get a, I got to think about it. Got it?
Oh, if they do happen to say, oh, we only have 10 minutes, even though we agreed to 45 minutes, just schedule the next appointment. Don't even try to rush anything in there.
All right. And this is what Carlos has been using for, like, what, 2 months now? How long have you been using this?
I made it probably about a month ago, 2 months ago, yeah. And I just started using the revised one on my last two appointments, which actually did very, very well for me. So it makes a world of a difference. I got in 3 ERs since, so big difference. So the next part of the contract is basically going over the questionnaire and their pain, which is what you want to find out before you even go over anything, including the price of anything, what you're going to do for them. You're just always talking about them. So Steve, where we leave off. So I would like to know if you're only interested in the cash offer that I originally spoke about, or did you want to know more of your options so you don't mistakenly limit yourself?
I guess I'd like to know what all my options are.
Okay, perfect. The purpose of our meeting today is to better understand our present situation to co-build to a perfect solution that works best for both of us. Is that fair?
Sounds fair to me.
Just so I'm clear, share with me your expectation of what would be the ideal professional you work with. What are the expectations?
Right. And so this is for them to just start telling you what they want in you, right? This is what they want in an agent. And you're writing these things down. So Carlton, when he's doing this, he's using an iPad. He's typing all these answers in. But you're writing these things down because your job is to be like a reporter so that when you get into later on in the meeting, you say, this is what you said, this is what you said. Yeah, get that right and so on. So here I'm telling them, like, you know, I want someone that pays attention and communicates well.
Yeah, they usually say pay attention. They tell me everything up front. They don't beat around the bush. They're not afraid to come to me with bad news if it's not going well. Don't do something that we never spoke about. So they want to be talked to first before you agree to do anything. And that's even after you got any ER signed. Most common answers I get, at least. So Steve, let's pretend it's been 1 hour and we're shaking hands. What are some of the things you wanted us to talk about?
And so this is the, we want to create the ideal outcome, right? So again, we're talking about expectations earlier. Now we're talking about the ideal outcome. So we're telling them, what is it that you need to have happen to feel good that we're shaking hands? And your job is to take notes so you do those things, right?
And don't forget, I did one time, he actually called me out on it. If we agree on terms and price, what happens next?
And the point of this, again, is to emphasize there's a couple of things here. We're the upfront contract in that we're not going to have I'll think about it, okay? So if they're going to hit, I'm still talking to other agents, you know, you might at this point decide to end the meeting,
mm-hmm.
right? If they're not ready to make a decision today, then you're just like, you know what? It sounds like this isn't the right time for you. Maybe we need to come back later on. But the other thing too is we're asking a what question versus a verb led question. So what's typical, you know, when you go buy a car, if we can give you your price, will you be assigning today, right? Which is, it's a pretty hard close. It's not as hard as some of the like hardest closes, but it's still a harder close. And you want to get away from that. So you want them to tell you what happens. So like, well, if you tell me what, if we agree on terms of price, then I'm ready to go today, right? So it's just a different way of asking the same question to get a different result. Or a clear result.
And even if they say, was it move forward? You hit them with which means. Like, you want them to actually say what's going to happen next, not just, oh, we'll move forward, because that can mean anything. Don't be vague about it. Steve, who else would have input on this outcome?
My wife.
Of course. Was she sitting right there? So, hi, child.
And then this is important. So remember, we talked about decisions. We don't ask who the decision makers are. All right, because you're asking who the decision makers are. Everyone's like, oh, I'm the decision maker. Right? Everyone wants to puff their chest.
Mm-hmm.
But who else has input? It's how you find out who the other decision makers are.
Another thing I had is, so you said your wife has input. That means there's no attorneys that has to get involved, no professional accountants, no family members at all, just you and Chow?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, right, after Chow and I talk about it, we want to be clear. Like, he's clarifying that. He's finding out. We're not going to have to talk to another attorney. We're not going to talk to other agent out of state, the lender, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nobody else. It's us two.
Steve, how long have you owned this property?
10 years.
10 years. Congratulations, man. And then why are you selling this home?
We need a bigger home.
That's it? Just a bigger house? Too small for you?
Running out of space.
Yeah, that's common nowadays. Where would we be moving to?
Across the street.
across.
we're looking at the other side of concrete.
If you like a neighborhood, you stay in the neighborhood. Will you need help with your new purchase or locating a home?
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. We can help with that. Are you looking to have this home sold by summer? So June?
Probably sooner than that.
Sooner? What makes you want to sell it so soon?
Well, I want to, you know, get the kids in for the... I don't want to deal in the heat. Sell in July.
True. Very true.
Really hot. So the reason to ask this question, so we used to ask, how soon would you like to move? Or when would you like to be out of the house? And when you ask that, it's like, you know, the fence is still up, right? Want to get that fence down, the guard down. So we're asking, this is, you guys remember the Chris Voss training, when we mislabel, we give you like, oh, you're gonna be out, you know, 6 to 8 months from now. Like, oh no, much sooner than that. It's like, oh, what's going on? What's the motivation? Versus, how soon are you gonna move? I don't know, 6 to 8 months. Which, how often are you guys getting that on your follow-up calls?
ASAP.
Right, so it's just mislabeling it, giving a stupid long time, and then having them justify why it's got to be more urgent. They're selling you their agency, you're not selling them.
Cool. So Steve, in the beginning I mentioned that we're going to go over all your options. These next two questions, they can help uncover some of those options. Can you tell me how much do you own your property?
$100,000.
Nice. And then what are your mortgage payments, if any?
$1,000 a month.
Steve, what could stop you from selling your home besides price?
I don't know if I can't find that right house to buy.
So are you going to be looking for a home first, it seems?
Yeah, I want to start looking.
Okay. Have you tried to sell this home before?
No.
No. And then how much time would you need to vacate the property?
Time to move into the next one.
Okay. So...
And I answered this other question wrong, so you skipped it. Like, what are some challenges you faced before when trying to sell your home? So I said yes. That's okay. The follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Like, if we knew it didn't sell before. So we're trying to have them relive those bad experiences from the previous agent.
What do you plan to net on the sale of this property?
Enough for a down payment.
Which means?
I don't know. $30,000, $40,000.
Okay. I'll go with $40,000. So let's pretend that your home is sold, you get the money from the sale, the $40,000, and now you have all the money in bank account, you're getting down the right, sitting down to write checks. Who are the first people or the company you're gonna be writing those checks to?
I have some outstanding credit cards.
Okay.
And I love to finally pay off my student loans.
Who else?
That's it.
How much you think is left over after that?
I don't know, 75,000-80,000.
When you netted 40,000?
Oh, that's not a down payment.
No. Oh, okay.
Net.
So that means you need the 100K. You messed up on your math, but it's okay.
Whatever.
Steve. Let's say you want a contest to Home Depot to have all expenses paid for a renovation of, you know, whatever you want done. Look around your house. What do you envision you doing?
Got to update the tile and the carpet.
Tile, carpet.
That's it.
That's it?
That's it. So okay. The first part, or the previous question, let's pretend that your home is sold. This is, we're selling, or we're painting the image or the emotion, right? Like, it's done. It's over, right? What are we doing with that money? So we're trying to help them mentally close that gap, but also letting them see why we're doing this, okay? So I'm gonna put that perfect scenario. I'm gonna put that perfect scenario today. And then as far as writing checks, if this is a motivated cash buyer or a seller, then they're gonna have more urgent things, right? They're gonna have like, I gotta pay these IRS liens, HOA foreclosing on me, this or that, but those are the things that you're paying off. So this would lead to the pain funnel, okay? Because you have urgency with tax liens, HOA liens, whatever, judgments. In this scenario, I'm the traditional home buyer, homeowner. It's not as painful. What do you plan to net on the sale of your property? Is exactly what we talked about last week when Jeremy brought it up. We negotiate if it's a cash buy situation, we're negotiating from what they owe, not on what the house is worth, right? Mm-hmm. Like the negotiating point, the reference point is two different points. Does that make sense? And then let's say you want to contest, have all expenses paid. This is allowing them to talk about what needs to be updated in the home. So instead of us saying, you know, those cabinets are crap, and why didn't you splurge a little bit more on the flooring, this, you're allowing them the opportunity
to say it first.
To say it, right? And if they don't say it, then that's, you're going to have to bring it out. But
it's rare, though. I don't think I've had one person say, oh, well, besides the one that already did a full remodel, mostly everybody even picks out something. Like the one I went to yesterday did do a full remodel. And she threw out, oh, I actually want to change the stairway to iron rails. And I was like, okay. But yeah, they always pick out something. So Steve, we meet a lot of homeowners. Some look at the biggest sites like Zillow, Trulia, and most talk to their friends and family to come up with the price they want to net. I'm just curious, how did you come up with yours?
And this is the reason why you want to ask this question is you want to figure out how they're coming up with the price, right? If it's Zillow, we can beat that up, right? If it's my brother told me we could beat that up, mm-hmm. or was it you that said one of you guys had like, oh, well, let's call your brother.
That was me.
That was you.
Yeah.
Let's call your brother, figure out where he got that from. But we want to be able to squash whatever unrealistic numbers they're giving you. That's the purpose of this question, right?
Steve, are you meeting another real estate? Are you meeting with any other real estate professionals?
Yeah.
Yes. So how do you plan on choosing which action to take in regards to your home?
Whoever is going to give me the most money.
What would happen if you cannot sell for your price?
I guess I would stay here.
Stay.
And so are you meeting with real estate professionals is one thing that we're going to talk about is at least in the next part. And then how do you choose which action to take? We just want to figure out, again, it kind of leads to, towards the ultimate, you know, commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked about all these things, right? He's asking me all these questions. So the way we've done it with the biggest fear, so part of the upfront contract is the biggest fear, like that's like the last part of it. But the way we're doing it is we're moving it towards the end because we want to know, based off how I've answered all these questions, now he's going to tell me what his biggest fear is.
Also, with the how do you plan on choosing which action to take, that works out very well to help you understand what they're going to be thinking about this. They have to think about it. Because then they got to flat out tell you, like, oh, well, my wife wants to do this, and I want to do this. And now you're right there to handle any objection. Steve, can I tell you what my biggest fear is?
Sure.
So my biggest fear is that we're going to go through all this and you're still going to meet with other agents and you may, you know, decide to use what I tell you to see if they can do something better, or you may not want to make a decision at all based off everything you've told me.
Okay.
Also, I want to make sure that when we do meet or when we do get done here today, that you have a clear understanding of what we can do for you. And you've already said that you're going to be making a decision. So I just want to make sure we're still on the same page with all that. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay.
So this is removing, right? And if they say no, I gotta meet the other professionals, then this, you guys are in a tough spot. It's like going back to, like, you know, it sounds like,
well,
you're not really ready to make a decision today.
But I was gonna say, he also said that he cares more about what he nets the most. So Steve, it also sounds like you care more about what you put in your pocket rather than having the service to make sure your home actually sells. Have you ever been in a situation to where you thought you were going to get something and it turned out not to be true?
All the time.
So put yourself in that same situation. Imagine, you know, you've already moved out, you're on your way to your new house, and you go to sign at the table, and for some reason, the numbers aren't what they used to be. What are you going to do?
I'm pissed off.
And what happens next?
I'm calling you.
Okay, so that's why I want to make sure I give you that perfect service and not just rely on what you put in your pocket.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Okay.
Cool. Dang, that was done on the fly, too. So based off everything you said, is it okay if I ask you further questions to give you an idea of what it's going to be like to be on MLS?
Yeah.
So put yourself in a buyer's situation, and you walk into the house. How do you think a traditional buyer would see your house in its present condition?
Moving ready.
Moving ready. If need be, would you be able to give time for the buyer to do a finance?
Yep.
Okay, usually that's about 30 days. And then some people aren't aware of this, most sellers aren't. Let's say the buyer loves your house, but they hit you with, Steve, you know, I really love your house, but I need some help buying it. Can you, you know, potentially give me some money? That's called buyer concessions. How does that make you feel knowing that that may happen?
Is it normal?
It's very normal, but I always consider, you know, give them something so it feels like a win-win, mm-hmm. rather than just saying no flat out, and now the buyers don't chew you up on the inspection or something else down the road.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll go over those numbers later. Would there be any restrictions to showing your home to get it sold at the best price for you?
I think after school will be tough.
After school? You mind telling me the schedule that you work in the school?
I think 3 to 6 would be tough. Besides that, it'd be good.
Anytime between 3 and 6?
Outside of 3 to 6.
Outside of 3 to 6.
So, again, like, how do you think traditional buyers see your home? The point of this is to, again, help them see what changes need to be fixed. You know, if they didn't answer anything on the upgrades, whatever, help them see it, you know, as a third party. Help them see it as a third party. Time to finance is an opportunity to explain how long financing takes, closing costs, dealing with the closing cost objection today versus later. Because you guys deal with homeowners that says, oh, I'm not helping them with their closing costs. They can pay their own closing costs, right? Mm-hmm. So we're addressing all these things up front. Would you be opposed to showing the, like, giving more, what's it? Would there be restrictions showing home to prevent us from getting maximum profit? Like, oh, no, I don't want anything to take away from that. So we're hitting all the major issues at that point. And then
summary.
Well, summary's not really here though, right? Summary's at the end.
Oh, well, you missed a big part. Usually we go over the comps right now after we did this questionnaire. Mm-hmm. But before I even do that, I asked them, like, are we still on the same page? Do you want to stop now? Are you still going to be able to make a decision? Is there anything that you want to talk about now before we move forward? Or mostly what I do is I go back through their questions and I hit more on them. Like, for instance, the one where he said the agent, I'll talk more about that. Where he said he wanted to net more, or the sell price, what he puts in his pocket, I'll talk more about that. How he said he wants a bigger house, I'll talk more about that, even before I go through the comps and tell him anything what I can do.
Right. And then that, and it's important to see, like, what Carlton did. It's easy for us to skip, as we skip the contract to the contract, right? So he went through all this, and we talked about it, and then, you know, we talked about it earlier, you're gonna make a decision today. Is that still the case? Mm-hmm. Right? Because I mentioned that part about I might be talking to other agents. So we still wanna know, we're getting a yes or a no. And that's the only requirement we have from the homeowner. We're getting a yes or a no, and we'll keep moving forward. We're not getting a yes or a no,
stop.
We're stopping, right? It's caution, it's a yellow flag.
A little tidbit, might be a little tough to do, but the last two appointments, I didn't take anything but my tablet. No paperwork, no anything. And it totally made them drop their guard. They answered all my questions. They told me exactly what they were net, and then they even went lower from what they wanted to net. So I don't know if that can help you guys, but taking minimal stuff is good. Maybe just this questionnaire and not even your PIN. Ask them for a PIN.
Yeah, so this is something that I shared before. Like, I struggle with this concept, but David Sandler, the guy that started this whole thing, is that they would show up with nothing. He would walk in with just a piece of, not even without a piece of paper. He would ask them if they got some paper mm-hmm. and a pen to write with. Like, so ask for a pen. And after that, it's like, oh, you have a piece of paper, something for me to write on. And the point of this, I know it looks entirely unprofessional, but the guard is all the way down. This guy's an idiot. There's no way this guy can sell me. He's not a salesperson.
Yeah, he actually just said, oh, we're here just to have a conversation. I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
That's all we did. We just had a conversation.
So that's the question, guys. Sees Carlton without a listing presentation, without paper. It's like, oh, we're just talking today?
Mm-hmm. He had his whole family too, and it was all relaxed. Even the kids started jumping in, the teenager, I should say.
So that's a completely different tone.
Do you think that could range with the different price range? Like, if you're at a higher price range, I would imagine that would maybe not work as well.
That's a good question.
The one I just did was for $490. The reason why is because once you start speaking, everything changes. Like, if you don't sound like you know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. big difference. And then one, you're hitting the questions without a questionnaire, that'll even be better. They're like, oh, he must have been doing this, like, all his life. But so, right now, I got to take the questionnaire still.
So I have a follow-up question, though. You said, yes, you're interviewing other agents and you're really targeting trying to get yes or no's, mm-hmm. what if you're the first agent that they see? You don't want to be disrespectful and, you know, how do you go from there when you're the very first agent that they meet with?
So it's the wrong question. And I used to have the same mindset.
Okay.
So the question is, do you believe you can do the best job for them?
Yes.
Can you convey that message to them?
Yes.
If you can convey that message to them, that you're doing the best job for them, why would you have to meet with someone else and get suckered or with somebody else? Aren't you then with
them? That can be your biggest fear.
Well, so then basically reciting that back in that way or another to them, like the way that you said, if another agent comes mm-hmm. in after me and tries to promise the same things or piggyback off the numbers that you've given them, that's kind of how you come full circle with that.
So, to answer your question another way,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, so we talk about the biggest fear. My biggest fear is that we're going to get to the end of this and you and I know it makes sense to do business together. Who's going to call the other agents, let them know that they don't need to come?
I like that one.
I like that one too.
All right. And then we slide that home.
Straight to voicemail.
For you guys don't know what slide dial is, it's a way to leave a voicemail in their phone, assuming it's not a landline. That is going to sound weird on landline.
If I didn't hear it ring.
Yeah.
Also, if they are going to be speaking to the agent, maybe like they're still unsure, give them a reason to have to reach you or talk to you again. Like, don't be as nailed down on your price and what you can do. Probably barely go over what you can do. Like, give them a way to have to call you back to have that conversation. Or just tell them, like, is it okay if I come back after you meet with the other two agents? Just ask them. The other three, the other four. The more you meet with, the worse it gets, is what I always tell them. Yeah. Or you can tell them, you know, you chose to sit down with me for a reason based off one thing or another. What's keeping you, or what is the reason why you want to sit down with them after you've spoken with me? Just ask them.
The other thing that Brad talks about a lot is, you know, how many other agents are you meeting with? Like, four. Wow, four, really? Okay. Let's just take me out of the picture. Of the four, or three, you know, which one right now would you think right now you would want to do business with? And I say, oh, you know, Joe, Keller Williams. Okay, you know what? I know Joe, he's a good guy. I think you'd be better off going with that guy.
Mm-hmm. Like,
okay. Right? Guard slowly down. So, okay, now that I know that you're going with Joe, can I ask you a question? If there's something that you didn't like about the way Joe does his business or that Joe could do better, what would that be? And then whatever they tell you, like, that's what you got to hit on. That's what you got to emphasize on. Right? So you got to close the sale to start the sale. So you eliminated three of those people. And now you eliminated Joe. You're back on the game.
Very true. So my favorite part is going over the comps. So let's say I'm going over the comps with him. He already agreed to everything. I have my tablet, so everything's real time. I never point out, oh, this property sold for 140, this one sold for 160. All I do is bring them all up, and I look at them together. I'll be like, oh, this one matches yours. And I let them click on it, and the pictures start coming. They scroll around it. Oh, this is very nice. So at that point, I kind of go like that, like drop it a little bit, and I look around. So that way they can get a view of what their house looks like compared to this one, knowing that he wants a certain price. We do that with the next five homes. After that, I say, oh, you told me you want to net $40,000. Is that still the case after we looked at these comps together? It's usually a yes or a no. Preferably, I've been getting, or not preferably, actually, I've been getting a lot of no's. Oh, now that I looked at it, is it okay if I did some work on my house? What do you think we'll get at that point? I'm like, well, you told me you owe this much amount. Do you have any idea how much it's going to cost to get this done, the tile done, the carpet done? Oh, probably about $7,000. Oh, really? You must have some good people. And then you tell them how much it should cost. If they agree to that, then you finally go over, well, let's say you did get all this stuff done. I can do this, this, and this for you, and I can make sure you net this. What happens next? And that's where they confirm again if they're going to work with you or not. And by then, they usually forgot about the other agent that they're supposed to be meeting with because you already got them so tied in talking about themselves. Because I still haven't told them what all I can do. I just told them what I can. I just told them a reminder of what they wanted done. Then after the comps is done, that's when I finally will tell them, again, you agreed that most likely you're gonna make a decision. You've already said that I can do this for you, I can do this for you. You mind if I tell you a little bit how I'm gonna get that done? That's when I'll finally give them my candy. You don't wanna spill your candy in the lobby.
Yeah.
after I tell them everything, I still don't even tell them a commission because it rarely comes up in my appointments now because I've already told them I can get them what they want to net. So who cares what my commission is going to be? In my head, though, I did the math for about 7.5%, and I showed them the net of everything. So let's say we listed at 140. I'll minus that by 9.5% and tell them this is what they net after whatever BS comes up on the inspection. If something happened with the appraisal, you probably got to chip in a little bit or lower your price. My commission, any buyer's concessions, after you pay your mortgage, title fees, escrow fees, and HOA fees, this is where you're going to net. I've been doing it while it actually comes out to about 9.5% to 10%. So I just show them that. And if they say yes, I just got me a 7% listing or more. Rarely comes up now. That's one way to trick around, oh, how much am I going to pay you? Like, I'm like, make sure you net this. Does it really matter? I've said that before, too.
How was that received?
Fine. It's just because it's my personality.
Yeah. Carl's just got this gift that Potter's got.
Just word it differently say if you're not comfortable. Be a chameleon. And then let's say they agree to everything and they're signing right then and there. Let them sign it. You turn it around to them and say, what does this contract represent to you?
Paperwork.
Well, to me, it represents an agreement of everything I said I can do for you to make sure you net this amount. Is that still okay with you?
Yeah, it's okay with me.
After you leave, you send them an email of a summary of everything you guys spoke about. You give them a copy of the ER. You tell them exactly what the next steps are too. Well, before you leave, you tell them next steps, and then you email them a reminder what the next steps are. Some questions I got is, oh, when can I expect pictures? As soon as you're ready for them to be done. Oh, when are we going to go on MLS? Well, probably about 3 weeks after the pictures are done. Why so long? I like to build up a database of buyers. I have a lot of in-house buyers. So, if, you know, if we go with them, it makes negotiation a lot easier for you and me. And potentially you get to net exactly what you want, if not more, because the buyer is on our end. So I work with the buyer and the seller. I make sure the buyer gets what he wants, not knowing what you want to get. And usually that works out the best for everybody. And let's say after all that fails, we'll finally go into MLS, and that's when we'll get access to all the other buyers that I didn't have. So just showing your worth more instead of relying on the MLS, because one of the things I always tell them is when they're looking at the ER and they see I'm probably giving like a 1.5% to 2% to the buyer. Oh, another agent told me that nobody's going to show my property. I tell them, well, how'd you find out about your next property? How are you going to look at your next property? I'm going to look on Zillow. I'm going to look on this. Exactly. Every buyer is going to do that for your property. So it's going to be up to the buyer's agent to lie or do whatever they got to do to keep them from viewing this house. And then that buyer still sees it on the market. Now they got a confrontation. That's one example of how you can get around that when people say, oh, it's only listed for 2%. MLS is for buyers, not buyer's agents, basically.
And then just to highlight, so you know, we talked about all these questions, and I didn't really answer all these questions about the expectations, what I'm looking for in great detail, but the point in these questions is, like, you know, we did this demonstration in like 10 minutes, but this could be a 40 50 60 minute conversation, right? So in all that time, I'm getting a pretty clear image of what's important to the homeowner. And so what Brad said yesterday was, your job, to make a metaphor, is you're a sketch artist, okay? So when you go to the police station to submit a police report to describe the guy that assaulted you, mugged you, whatever, like, you're going through and you're drawing it, right? And we see this in Law and Order. Turn around, is this the guy? Like, that's him. Our job is to create a solution. We turn around, right? Obviously it's not a drawing, but in theory, we turn around, is this what you're looking for? That's a yes or a no. If it's a yes, we're doing business together today. If it's a no, I'm sorry, I must have missed something. What did I miss? Right?
The ears weren't as big.
Any questions on this? Easy? You guys gonna nail this today? Getting your next listing 7%?
To be honest with you, I've only had one where it's 45 minutes. The rest have been like an hour and a half, maybe long. And that's because these questions, they start talking and you just got to keep them on track. But you don't want to stop them from talking. And plus, the more information they give you, the more ammo you have. So just let them keep talking. Just the questionnaire alone is usually about 45 minutes. Then I have another 20 minutes of looking at the comps, and then probably another 20 minutes of going over a solution, and probably another 10 minutes of making sure like they got everything answered. Usually about an hour and a half more.
And the best thing I like about this is you don't have the fear of failure there. You know what I mean? You're flat out asking them, you know what? If I'm not the right guy, I'm going to walk away. And I think a lot of us, including myself, sometimes that's our problem, is we're just too afraid to be turned down. And we're not as aggressive. Like, I like how you're just being you. You're not, like, changing for anyone.
Yeah. You'll see that. I didn't even say anything word for word, really, that's in front of me.
But that's an important point. Like, think about, you know, last time you went to go buy a car or, you know, I'm trying to think of another example. But you're walking in, the guy's like, you know, whether you buy or not, it's fine. You're walking to the person's house, right? Obviously, most people want to get the listings. I'm not saying we don't want to get the listing, but we're going in there with a mindset of, like, you tell me you don't like me, like, that's totally fine.
I say that, I mean, harsh ways. I don't know if Facebook might flag us. But more or less, I do say, you know what, if it's because I look this way or blah, 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 say you don't want to work with me and I'll leave right now. Oh, no, I don't care what you look like. I just want to make sure you can sell my house. Exactly. Just want to make sure we're on the same page still, Mr. and Mrs. Seller. And give them a way out. The more way out you give them, the more they let you in. Legitimately.
The feeling of control in their hands, which is what they want.
Exactly.
Right? But we're driving it to where we want with the questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. What was it? The person asking the questions in charge? Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Yeah. Person that's asking all the questions is the one that's still doing the selling. The person that's doing the talking is the one that's doing the buying.
And because Steve answered his questions so shortly, it seemed like I was doing a lot of the talking. Most of the time, they're doing way more of the talking.
And it's funny, is Carlton brings this on a tablet, right? So he's walking, he's got his iPad, and he's typing this in Evernote on his iPad. And it's gotten to the point where some clients are just looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
And just answering the next question. He's not even answering it. No one's offended that you have these questions, right? There's no questions here that are gotchas. These are questions that if they saw it, it doesn't hurt you. So I thought it was pretty cool that he's got that on an iPad, and they're just, they see he's done, they're already answering the next question.
Yeah, I kind of give him permission. I say, hey, I'm not trying to hide anything. You're more than welcome to look over my shoulder as I ask you the next question. And majority of the people do. And as I'm typing it, they start asking the next question as they see me finishing the previous question. So I just keep going. So really, I'm not talking at all. Like, even if he says something I want to talk about, just wait to the end. Like the whole, I got an agent. Just wait to the end. Don't try to answer anything right then and there, because now you're selling them. Don't want to sell. Any other questions?